choice. Now you made your choice.
The fourth reading of Parshas Vayigash opens up joyously. Yaakov Avinu has gotten wind of the fact that Yosef is alive. Not only is alive, but he remembers who he is. He's still mindful of the Torah that they studied. Chapter 46, verse 28, Vayomer Yisrael. Israel said, take note of the fact that here he's called Yisrael. Rav, Oid Yosef Benichai. This is amazing, he said. This is great. My son is still alive. I think I'll go see him before I die. He's not so optimistic. He's very happy, but he's planning his death already. Rav Oid. What does that mean, Rav Oid? Rav. So Rashi says, Rav. This is what Yaakov says. Rav Li Oid. There's still yet much joy left in my life. Yosef's alive. Simcha v'chedva. This refers to joy and happiness. Hoyil v'oid Yosef b'nichoy. Since my son Yosef is still alive, there's lots of joy left. Let me go see him before I die. Our rabbis tell us that Yaakov Avinu, leaving the land of Canaan, the future land of Eretz Yisrael, he had a feeling he would never be coming back. At least not terrestrially, physically alive. So he prepared his grave. He actually dug his grave. He didn't want to have any problems because he somehow knew Esav would make problems. By the way, Esav did make problems. Yaakov actually dug his own grave. And there's a whole discussion whether a person is allowed to prepare the grave before. But he dug his own grave, prepared everything. And he says, okay, now I'm ready for all eventualities. I can go and see my son.
Are you saying Esav outlived Yaakov?
Esav did outlive Yaakov, yes. Yeah. Esav ends up dying on the day of Yaakov's funeral. But maybe we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to the funeral. Vayisa Yisrael, chapter 46 opens with a journey. Israel is now journeying. So in Mitzrayim, he's in Canaan with an eye towards Mitzrayim, preparing his grave, he's called Yisrael. As he sets out on a journey, he's called Yisrael. But not only him. V'chol asher yesh lo. And all that was his. Vayavoi be'era shova. He comes to the city of Be'er Sheva, and even though he's on a journey, we have a little detour. He stops, he settles in. Vayizbach zvachim. He brings offerings. So he had to be an altar over there. And he brings these offerings, the lekei aviv Yitzchak, to the God of his father Isaac. This verse says many things to us. The first thing it says to us is that Yisrael traveled v'chol asher loy, and all that was his. Now Rashi doesn't bother explaining anything to you because he already told you previously, and we read in the Chumash that Yosef said, don't bring your possessions. Don't come with your furniture. I can take care of that. So it's implicit, self-understood. What does it mean v'chol asher loy? It must mean all the family. All the souls, so to speak, that are affiliated or connected to him. But the Or HaChaim does actually spend time in this, and he says, he emphasizes this is not the rechush, this is not the residuals of wealth. What was really Yaakov's, what was really his, was his family. And that in and of itself is a lesson for us. Who are we really? What's really ours? Is it the money we have? Is it the houses we own? Is it the portfolio we have? No. Chol HaShaloi refers to the family. Vayavoi Be'era Shava, he comes to Be'er Shava, so why does it say Be'era Shava? So Rashi says something, he said numerous times already, Kimoi, this is as if it were to say, Li Be'er Shava, he came to Be'er Shava. And he says the rule in Biblical Hebrew is Hei B'Seif Teva, a Hei at the end of a word, Bimkim Lamed B'Tchila, can take the place of a Lamed in the beginning. So it would either say, Vayavoi Li Be'er Shava, or Vayavoi Be'era Shava. Now that we know that, we understand that he brought offerings there. And the next thing, which is obvious, or kind of makes us say, he brought offerings to God, why is it say, Lekei Aviv Yitzchak? When previously, it would be identified as the God of Avraham and Yitzchak. Why here is it now Yitzchak? So Rashi says, this shows you, Chayev Adam b'chveid Aviv Yeser mi b'chveid Imai. A person is more obligated to honor his father than his grandfather. Although for a grandfather, one does still have an obligation of kibud avim. The mitzvah of respecting parents, honoring parents, goes for two generations, not just towards our parents, but we actually have a mitzvah towards our grandparents also. Nonetheless, one is obligated to have greater respect for one's own parents than the grandparents. Why? So really one could argue, one would think that they have more obligation of the grandparents. Why? Because I'm obligated to respect my father and my grandfather, and my father's also obligated to respect his father. So we're both obligated to respect my grandfather. Nonetheless, your obligation first is towards your actual father. And that's conveyed to us where it says, the Lekei of Yitzchak, where Yaakov Avinu identifies the God of my father instead of the God of Avram, the God of my father's father. And obviously, if it's the God of Avram, Yitzchak is the God of Avram also, but nonetheless, specifically, he points to the name Yitzchak, not Yitzchak and Avram. So that verse tells us something. The bigger question is, why did he go to Be'er Sheva? It's not exactly on the way. So the Bereshis Rabbah says something unbelievable. If you go back, not just to Yitzchak, but all the way to Avraham, you'll see that when Avraham Avinu came to Be'er Sheva, after the Akedah, what did he do? Vayita Eishel Be'er Sheva. He planted an orchard in Be'er Sheva. And there are various explanations as to what this orchard might mean, what it might be, whether it was trees, an oasis, a punduk, he built a hotel, a rest area. But the Bereishis Rabbah says, amongst the explanations is the notion that he planted not only fruit-bearing trees, but also arazim, also acacia cedar. Why is that meaningful? Let's say, so Avraham Avinu had this premonition that he had to plant cedar trees, and he planted them in the southernmost city of Israel. And now, Father Jacob is leading his family into Mitzrayim with the knowledge that it may not be coming back so fast. And so they're going to take these arazim, they're going to take these cedar trees, they're going to bring them into the land of Mitzrayim. What happens with them? They get planted. Very good, they get planted. And 209 years later, when they leave the land of Mitzrayim, these very same sapling trees that have now grown for three generations are going to be a whole forest. And Moshe Rabbeinu will lead a quick harvesting of these trees, and they will leave Mitzrayim not only with the wealth of Egypt, but also with the trees that came from Eretz Yisrael. And these trees will later be manufactured and turned into the walls of the Mishkan, the acacia. So Yaakov knows that he's got to stop in Be'er Sheva. He's got a little luggage to pick up. He knew not to come with his furniture. He knew not to come with his residuals, but he came with trees. You got a picture of this. Imagine if you were an Egyptian border official. So, hi, the Jews are here. Well, what do you have? Trees. Any marijuana? No, just trees. It's trees. Can you smoke those? Well, I don't know, says Yaakov. We're not planning to smoke them. Trees. The whole thing is like, if you think about it, it's so strange. But this is how our fathers planted for us. The Rekeach says something very interesting. He says, Avraham Avinu, when he finished the Akedah, so he now had, he almost lost his son. He thought it was over. He was going to lose Yitzchak, and now he has Yitzchak. And where does he go? He goes to Be'er Sheva. That's what the Chumash tells us. He finishes the Akedah, and he goes, Vayelech Avraham, and he goes to Be'er Sheva. So, Yitzchak Avinu, of course, never leaves the land of Canaan. He stays there. And now Yaakov is leaving. This is the second time he's leaving. He's left to build a family, and now he's leaving to build ultimately a nation. And Yaakov Avinu knows very well that he could have ended up leaving the land of Canaan in Shalshaloi's Barzel, in Iron Change. It says actually that Roy laded b'Shalshaloi's Barzel. He could have been taken down in chains, but Hashem is kind, and now he's going down in honor, dignity, and opulence, where his son is viceroy, the second most powerful man. So it's like he has to revisit. He comes back now. Yaakov comes back to the place that Avraham Avinu went after he, so to speak, dodged a bullet because he almost lost his son. And now he didn't. He has a son. He went to Be'er Sheva to thank Hashem. Yaakov also feels he dodged a bullet. He could have gone down in chains. Instead, he's going down in these royal carriages. So he too, having dodged a bullet, so to speak, stops in Be'er Sheva. So from the Rekech's perspective, both Avraham Avinu and now Yaakov, having dodged a bullet, stopped in Be'er Sheva. Okay, what did he do in Be'er Sheva? Well, he prayed. He prayed in Be'er Sheva. He brought a korban. And I guess he was waiting and hoping for the divine presence to come upon him. And as we will see, he will not be disappointed. Verse 2, Vayemir Elokim LeYisrael. God speaks to Yisrael. This is the third time he's called Yisrael. B'marais Halayla, in the nocturnal vision. Vayemir, and he says, Yaakov, Yaakov, calling Jacob twice. Vayemir, and Yaakov Avinu responds, and he says, Hineni, here I am. This is how the patriarchs responded, with humility, with preparedness, a readiness to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu might ask of them.
Why did Hashem call him Yaakov as opposed to Yisrael?
Very good. Well, first of all, why did he call him twice, Yaakov, Yaakov? We have three times Yisrael, and now all of a sudden, two times Yaakov. So Rashi says, twice Yaakov, Lashon Chiba. God speaks to him in a language of love. He lovingly calls to him, Yaakov, Yaakov. But Rashi doesn't answer a bigger question. If he's calling to him lovingly, why is he calling him Yaakov? He should be calling him Yisrael. Especially because he's Yisrael in verse 28, the end of chapter 45, Vayomer Yisrael. He's Yisrael in the first verse of chapter 46, Vayisa Yisrael. And he is Yisrael in the beginning of verse 2, where the Torah narrates God calling to him. It says, Vayomer Elikim Li Yisrael. God says to Yisrael, Vayomer. And then he actually said, what does he say? Yaakov, Yaakov. What happened there? So first of all, do not think that this is in any way the lack of honor for Yaakov Avinu or HaKadosh Baruch Hu being unhappy with Yaakov. So instead of calling him Yisrael, he goes back to Yaakov. Rashi says no. Then it wouldn't say it twice. If it was God scolding Yaakov now, then it would say, Yaakov, you know, you're in trouble. What are you doing in Be'er Sheva? It doesn't say it. It says Yaakov, Yaakov. When I was a little boy, if my mother called me Menachem Mendel, I knew I was in trouble. That's why I still don't like people calling Menachem Mendel, because I have this this baggage as a kid. Menachem Mendel, oh no. So God says, Yaakov, hey, well, Yaakov, I was Yisrael. The whole narration here is Yisrael. I'm feeling like Yisrael. I feel great. Oh, Yaakov, Yaakov. So first of all, it says it twice, so it's Lashon Chiba. This is an expression of love. But the bigger question is, why does he call him Yaakov here? And so Rabbeinu Bechaya explains this. Rashi doesn't explain it. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, where is Yaakov going now? He was in Israel. He was planning to leave Israel. But everything till now, all in Israel. Eretz Yisrael, he's Yisrael. Where's he going now?
Egypt.
Egypt is not an aliyah. Egypt is a Yerida. He's going down, not up. So here, when he's going down, and why is he going down for? For Golos. This is not going to be a picnic. Even though Yosef is now viceroy, and everything is great now, and they're going to save the family, but this is planting the seeds for a bitter exile. And so the right name here is Yaakov. It's still with love, but you got the reality on your hands. Now the Moshe of his kingdom suggests, it says, Lo yikare shimcha oid Yaakov al yedei Adam. He says, people won't call you Yaakov, but God reserved the right to call him Yaakov whenever he wanted. For God, it wasn't, so to speak, a demeaning name in any way, shape, or form. The Radak says, there's a different approach to the double Yaakov, Yaakov, because it's almost like an oxymoron. It's on one hand, it's Lashon Chiba, on the other hand, it's going into Golos. Radak says, we know that Yaakov Avinu did not have prophecy for many years. This is the first prophetic event in almost over two decades. So Hashem has to ease him into it. And he calls him Yaakov. Yaakov. It's like, this is a traumatic thing. It's not simple to be able to have the spirit of prophecy come upon you. So he calls his name twice, Yaakov, Yaakov. And in that way, Yaakov is able to come to and receive the prophecy. And what's the prophecy? What's the message? Vayomer. And he says, referring to God, Anoichi hakel elekei avicha. I am the God, God of your father. Al tira. Do not be afraid. Altira means don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Merda Mitzrayim, going down into Egypt. Kilugoi godol asim chasham. For I will make you into a great nation. Now, if the Chumash says that God told Jacob, Altira, don't be afraid, what would we understand from this? If God has to tell him, don't be afraid, either there's something to be afraid of, or he is actually afraid. Because if he wouldn't be afraid, why would God tell him Al Tira? But God's telling him Al Tira, so must be he's afraid. So incredulously, Rashi says no. Why did God tell him don't be afraid? If you ask anybody, why did God say don't be afraid? He'll tell you, why did he say don't be afraid? Because he was afraid. Says Rashi, he wasn't afraid. Lefi shahaya meitzar. Because he was in pain. Why was he in pain? He was pained al shenizkak lotzeis l'chutz l'aretz. He was pained at the thought of having to leave Israel. Well, if he was, you're saying, of course. But I'm going to say, if he was in pain, and God said, so God should say to him, don't be in pain. But the Chumash doesn't say, God doesn't say, don't be in pain. God says, don't be afraid. So he must have been afraid. No, says Rashi, he was not afraid. He was in pain. It's the catch 22. If he was in pain, the Chumash should say, al titzta'er, don't be in pain. Instead, it says al tira. Must have been he's afraid. No, he's not afraid. He's in pain. And Rashi is pshuta shel mikra, the simple, straightforward meaning. So if Rashi is pshuta shel mikra, the straightforward meaning, if the Chumash, if the scripture says, don't be afraid, then the most logical conclusion to come to is, if God says, don't be afraid, must be, he was afraid. So if I say to somebody, don't be afraid, they say, I'm not afraid. Yeah, I know you're afraid. Don't be afraid.
Is it really afraid, or just he's unsure if he's doing the right thing or not, which is why he's invoking Hashem to communicate?
He's invoking Hashem to communicate because clearly he feels he needs reassurance, guidance.
Of course.
What is the emotion, though? Is the emotion fear? Is the emotion anxiety? Is the emotion anguish or pain? What's the emotion? So I would say that it's kind of basic Sherlock Holmes. I'll figure this out. I'll take a look and see what God said to him. And then once I know what God said, I'll know what the issue was. If I say to you, don't be afraid, and you say to me, I'm not afraid. I said, oh, I thought you were. But if God says, don't be afraid, God must know. God says, don't be afraid. And Rashi says, nah, don't. I know, you think he was afraid. He was not afraid. He was not afraid. He's not afraid. Why did God say, don't be afraid? Why would Rashi go away from the literal meaning? It's like, it's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. This is like, you know, using your right hand to get to your left ear. It says, don't be afraid, but he wasn't afraid. He was just in pain.
I mean, isn't these words all kind of synonymous? Like, don't be worried, don't be afraid. Don't be, you
know. No, Nathan, I don't know. It's like fear and...
metaphor, so don't be worried.
It's not a metaphor. You need a metaphor for fear, you need a metaphor for anxiety, you need a metaphor for anguish. They're different feelings, different emotions. A person says, how are you feeling now? I'm in pain. Are you afraid? No, I'm just in pain. Person loses a loved one, how does he feel? Afraid? What's he afraid of? I'm afraid I'm dying next. Why? But you're only 50. I know, but I think I'm going to die now. Because my father's 97 and he died. I'm probably going to die tomorrow. Why? Where'd that come from? He's not afraid, but he's in pain. So this is very strange. So let's see how the Rebbe explains this Rashi. This really needs to be explained. I mean, like, page Reish Tzadik Tes. Rebbe opens with exactly this question. Lefi divrei Rashi, according to the words of Rashi, shetchushosoy shel Yankif, that the feeling of Yaakov at this moment is a tchusha, a feeling of tsar, a feeling of pain, a feeling of eitzev, a feeling of sadness. Hoyomei tsar, he's in pain. He's pained at the thought of having to leave Israel. He's not afraid. He's pained. So then why does God say, don't be afraid? God should say, don't be in pain. Don't be pained. Or don't be sad. So the Rebbe suggests that there is something much deeper being alluded to here. Listen to this. Kavanosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al derech haremez. From using, studying and understanding Torah through the allusionary frame, where the Torah alludes to different things. A, not I, not an illusion. And Torah is alluding. So the remez, the allusion here is that Kavanosish LaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's intention is not to diminish Tzar Shel Yankev Al Hayirida LeMitzrayim. Yaakov's in pain. He's pained at having to leave the land of Israel. Good or bad? Good. Yeah. It bothers you? That's good. That's really good. Famous story, the Tzemach Tzedek tells a chassid he should become a shaychet, a ritual slaughter. He says to the Tzemach Tzedek, I don't want to do that. Tzemach Tzedek says, why not? He says, I'm afraid. It's a big responsibility. You know, maybe I wasn't mindful. Maybe I didn't wield that knife right, and then I'm causing people to eat non-kosher food. So the Tzemach Tzedek says to him, so who should do it? Somebody who's not afraid. It's good you're afraid. Tzemach Tzedek didn't say, don't be afraid. It's nothing. You slaughter an animal. It's a big deal. You're afraid? Good. Steel yourself. You can do this. He didn't say, don't be afraid. God never came to Yaakov and he says, you feel bad about leaving Israel? Why would you feel bad? You feel great. He didn't say that. The regesh of tzar, the feeling of pain, the feeling being pained at golos is actually a regesh chiyuvi. The Rebbe says that's positive, that's a good thing. It's something which is roy, something which is fully appropriate. It's the way it should be. When the Jewish people are going into golos, it should bother them. In fact, the Rebbe maintains that the Gemara in Brachas says very clearly that being in an exilic state should bother us. And the metaphor for golos is like banim shegolum al shulchan aviyim, children sitting at their father's table and they were chased away. They can't be with the family now. How do you feel? Great. No, not really. No, I'm in pain. That's good. What's not good? What's not appropriate? Pain is appropriate. What's not appropriate? Fear. Fear is no good. So therefore, the Torah says, regesh shel pachad, feeling of fear, which fear comes from the uncertain. Where you going? We're starting to daven in 2 minutes. We're good. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. The feeling of fear, because of galus, they're almost done there already. Ein loy makim. Fear has no place. Fear has no place. Yehudi tzarech lizker a yid has to remember Shakadosh Baruch Hu sheshalach eisi legalazu. If he's in galus, why is he in galus? Because God sent him into galus. If he was sent by God into Golos, he must have every ounce of strength he could possibly need. In order to overcome whatever Golos will throw at him. There's no room for pain. The Rebbe says, in truth, these two very different kinds of emotions, pain and fear, they're kind of linked to one another. When a Yid feels that Golos, that's not really a place. I'm uncomfortable. He feels a sense of pain and longing and anguish of being stuck here. He always wants to go back to his place. This kind of yearning and desire to throw off the yoke of Golos, to leave behind the present circumstances, elevates him, it enables him to transcend the pain and the strictures of Golos. It fills him with the inner strength and courage that he needs, lehismoided, to, so to speak, contend with all that Golos throws against him. So Golos throws lots of things at you, and they could make you worried. They could give you fear. But if a Yid knows this is not really his place, that gives him the koyach not to be inundated with fear, to overcome that. And that's what Rashi alludes to. Al tira merda mitzrayim. Why does God say don't be afraid? Lefi shahaya meitzer. Because he was pained at the thought of leaving Golos. You're pained at the thought of leaving Golos? Excellent. You have nothing to be afraid of. Fear is not good. Fear of Hashem is good. However, if a Yid feels that Golos is not his place and it bothers him, excellent. Then you have nothing to be afraid of. It's the moment you make peace with the current situation, then get afraid. And that is why God doesn't tell him, don't be in pain. He says, don't be afraid. And so a Yid must know, we're not afraid. Hinei kel Yeshuasi, the God of my salvation. We say when we face a new week, Evtach v'loy efchad. I have trust in Hashem. I will not be afraid. At the same time, though, I will not be afraid, but I could be bothered. And as long as it bothers you, then we know there's nothing to be afraid of. To be continued.